but I'm here.
Okay. So where do you want to start today?
Come on, people, anybody?
Let's go somewhere. I don't know.
would be
Don't
good.
know.
There's a lot of shifting going on. You could just feel it. So it's like, okay, we could go do anything and it would be positive.
You're
Just pick up anything. It's just like, okay.
Okay.
Kind of crazy.
Right. So, if no one's got anything you want to ask, you just want to do something. Is that all right?
I got
Okay.
something.
Yeah, go on then.
What's creative light again?
Creative light?
Yes.
Okay, creative light is the light that operates in the realm of heaven and in the heavenly realms, and it God is light, and the speed of creative light is faster than created light, and our spirit is made of creative light, like God's is. when God recreated the world and the universe, he then created light in a different speed, and that speed of light actually has not been constant either. It's been slowing down. So if you extrapolate the slowing down of the speed of light in created light, you'll find that it equates to 13 point something billion years for 7 days. Because if the speed of light has slowed down, then our experience of time is different. And it has. I mean, there's some good scientific background. Barry Setterfield is a I think an Australian guy, a scientist who does a lot of Christian guy who's done a lot of work on speed of light. But creative light is what we are made of in our spirit, and creative light is what we get to use to facilitate change in things. So, I mean, is that enough, or do you want anything more on that?
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
I just needed to remind myself how to use that, because I forget. I always think about, just regular photons, and yeah, I just forget. Thank you.
Yeah, no, that's fine. I mean, light is a fascinating subject, and when you look at God being spirit and God being light and light carrying information, and how light is a wave and a pattern, and therefore light is the potential, which is carries the thoughts of God that then become matter when they're observed. So God's consciousness and our consciousness of light can actually bring it into a form that we can see. So everything that we see is like an interference pattern of creative light that then is manifested as matter. And we get to get some of those uses of light restored. The bandwidths of light, if you think of radio, sort of magnetic wavelengths, there's a whole load of wavelengths. What we see in our color scale, if you put that on a keyboard, and you'll see that that keyboard, when you take all the wavelengths of light, would reach from here to the moon. And we can see just seven keys. So there's a whole lot of electromagnetic spectrum that we can't see with our visible eyes, but our spirit can engage with it and perceive it, because a lot of the dimensions operate in a wavelength of light outside of what we can see with our natural eyes, but we can still engage it in our spirit. And at the fall, there was a bandwidth of light which was lost, so that they were unable to engage in the spiritual realm. And then you also add at the flood another loss of bandwidth, hence then you that it describes the colors of the rainbow as seven. whereas before that there were more. Also, you get at the Tower of Babel, you get a loss of bandwidth of the sound waves, because they were able to use sound and light to create things, hence the pyramids, and how they created the pyramids using sound and light technology. It's quite a fascinating subject, but the main thing is that our spirit operates in creative light, therefore we can engage with God, who is spirit and light. If our spirit wasn't creative light, then we would never catch up, because created light is slower, so we're created in creative light, so we can engage with God and operate in that spiritual realm, which operates at a faster speed, if you like, which means that's why it's before this realm, both in authority but also in out of time sequence, because time contained within this rather than it's a thing in its own right. Okay. Anyone else?
You know, Mike, you brought up living in the eye of the storm, you know, administering the kingdom. Yeah. And I'm trying to grasp the bigness. Well, I guess, yeah, it's just big. What have you found, you know? I mean, there's really not a place of, well, there is a place of rest, but then there's not. I mean, there's like two dimensions I'm seeing, what you were talking about. Am I correct?
There is the seat of rest, which is engaging really in the realm of the heavens, where we live in the presence of peace and joy in God, so we can access the throne of grace or the garden of God, so we can live constantly with our spirit in that realm. But that obviously has to transpose to how we live here. So we need to allow the government of God to be established in our lives. If we yoke ourselves to Jesus and we are joined to him, then we find that peace and rest for our souls. And that is where our spirit, and what our spirit engages in, living in the presence of the future and blessing and wholeness and health and everything, has to be applied to our soul, so that when we join ourselves to the Lord, we become one spirit with him. But Jesus said, come to me all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You know, take my yoke upon you, because my yoke is easy and my burden's light, and you will find rest for your soul. So it's as the soul learns to draw from the life of God, the river of life, from the inside out, then we can live in the presence of the future and live in peace and contentment, because we're living in the revelation that we are ruling, that we have authority, that our circumstances are under our control, because no matter what's going around us, we're living safe and secure in a place of rest and peace in God, because we're in him. And we can engage with like the throne of grace, where we can find grace and mercy to help at time of need. So whatever's going around us, we're connected to the source of grace and mercy. But that connection has to flow through our spirit to engage our soul, to bring it into that place of rest. Because if our emotions are used to leading us, if we suddenly see a whole load of storm going on around us in the realms of our life around us and people's lives around us, then panic can set in. You know, anxiety and worry, because we've fixed our eyes on the storm rather than being in peace and rest in the midst of the storm. So everything has to then be flowing from the inside out to live in the good of what my spirit is connected to. And I have to therefore have my soul transformed so that it does not lead me into fear, using memories of previous experience or anything that would has come from the outside in would stop the inside out engaging. And so, and that's where the tension and the battle can take place, in the if we're used to getting our security from the outside, when those things get shaken or that security is no longer there, then our soul can go into a panic or anxiety or worry. Whereas if we're drawing from our resource from the inside, and like Paul, we can be content with nothing or everything in the spirit, in the physical realm, because we know in the spiritual realm we're connected to everything. And we, if we seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, then he promises that he will provide everything else that we need. And so it's connecting in faith to that by having hope established. And hope is not wishful thinking. Hope is fixing our eyes on the promises of Jesus, like Matthew 6:33, and therefore it producing the substance of faith. We then found our lives and live in that rest and peace, so that we're living in the eye of the storm. You know, it does not mean that there aren't storms, but the reality is our house will not fall, because we're actually connected spiritually to the source of all life and rest and peace in him. You know, if we try and meet our own needs, or if we try and think about how we can solve our problems, or if we do all those things, then we focus on the problem and the problem gets bigger, and then our soul tends to engage in history and mindsets that are familiar, rather than engaging in the truth of who God is, of my provider. And the names of God come into this in terms of, you know, he's my sanctification, he's my healer, my peace, my provider, my shepherd, you know, my banner of victory, you know, the usual compound names of Jehovah Jireh and Jehovah Sekenu and all those compound names of God. Those are the things that we live in, because we're in him. So we are, in a sense, living in the eye of the storm, because it does not have an effect on us emotionally or in any way, because we are connected to the source of life. But it obviously takes some entering into to change how we usually react to negative situations or difficult circumstances, to react positively from the perspective that we have authority over them to change them. And even if a mountain suddenly appears in our way, we have authority, that Jesus said, to speak to that mountain and command it to move. But you have to really operate according to Mark 11:22-24, in that we live in the expectation and knowing that what we are praying and what we're declaring and what we're speaking has already taken place in the before realm of the Spirit. That's why we need to do it there first, so that it can manifest in the now realm physically. And obviously faith is the evidence of things, or the substance of things not yet seen. So we've seen them in the Spirit, and we've created them in the Spirit, and our consciousness has focused on them in the Spirit so that they can manifest in the natural realm. And it's the in-between period between what we've manifested in heaven to what manifests on earth, where faith needs to continue to be established and produce that substance. Because if we, with our words and with our emotions and with our thoughts, come out of a pattern of negativity or fear or doubt or unbelief, then we stop the substance of faith being manifested, because we've cancelled what we're hoping for by agreeing with the enemy and giving him a vote on it, rather than being constantly in agreement with God and God's promises. You know, so it does take some developing that and standing firm. But, you know, like the wise man who built his house on the rock, if our house is built on the solid foundations of being in Christ and being in God, then we know our security in that and we can outwork that. But, you know, it's one of those things you've got to keep practicing. But it does work. You know, I've had loads of storms going on around And actually, I've had no anxiety, worry, or any of those things. I just, okay, God, I'm handing it over to you. You promised that you'd deal with all this stuff, so it's your business. I'm going to get on and focus on the kingdom and let you deal with all those things that you know that I have need of. And also then I can, the more I'm ruling from heaven on my thrones, the more that I can decree and declare those things and control the circumstances around me. You know, and the more I get the Spirit flowing through me to create an atmosphere of the kingdom around me, then, you know, I can walk into a room of negativity and change it rather than being affected by it. And that, again, is just manifesting the kingdom through our lives as the Spirit of God moves through us and our spirit grows and gets bigger than our physical body, then maintains an atmosphere of faith and love and hope and blessing and joy and peace around me. So wherever I go, it matters little what's going on around me because I can tame my own bubble of joy and peace and rest because I've sort of filled that bubble with what's flowing out of my spirit.
That's good. I like the in-between part, what you said. I think that's what I was missing, the in-between part.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. Okay. So, do you want to engage in something today? As about engaging around the ark and beginning to cultivate desire for the mountains we have or the mandates we've got. And so we can begin to look into the time as we step into God, look at the beginning and the end. Because that is absolutely key if we're going to manifest the purposes of God through our lives. We must see what his purpose was in the beginning, either back in the purposes of God in his heart, in our destiny, or before the fall when we see God's purpose in what was in the garden. We need to see how that can be manifested today. So once we begin to look at the beginning, we can actually see the end, and the end is always a new beginning. So that means that we can create new beginnings every day. And so even if you looked into the future and you saw chaos, then by looking into the past and seeing wholeness and peace, then you can change the chaos into wholeness and peace on a day-to-day level and change your future to align with God's purposes from the past. You know, and we should really, that's really our daily function of ruling in the kingdom, is to establish what God's purposes are on the earth as it is in heaven. So we need to see them. So maybe it'll be a good time just to go around the presence of God, around the ark there, and just look to engage in that. Is that okay?
I think that would be great because that'll help us to keep the vision before us of destiny once we know the purposes God and the intention God had for us from the beginning.
Okay.
Because that helps me to keep moving forward through hard things, you know?
Sure, yeah. Okay. Okay, well, I did just encourage you to just close your eyes and let's just engage our spirits. So we're under an open heaven. And under that open heaven right now, we accept the invitation to come up here. So we step into the realm of the Spirit. Jesus meets us in the doorway into heaven. We just surrender to him as a living sacrifice to find his will and his purpose for today and for our future. We just ask you, Jesus, to lead us by the hand and just begin to take us through the veils, the as we go through the cross, embracing the victory and the life, as we surrender to your will and purpose, just transform us in any way that needs transforming so that we can engage your presence. So as we just step around your presence, we begin to think of your name with Yod, He, Vav, He. Just think of your name there. Has come to resonate with your will, the frequency of your voice, of your thoughts towards us, your purpose for us today. We just draw near, align ourselves with your four faces. Just open our hearts to receive that which is your will for us, our mandate for our destiny, our mandate for today. We just open our hearts to you and we begin to think about your will and your purpose for our lives. So we begin to cherish it, brood over it, cultivate, incubate in our hearts. Just write the revelation and unveil the revelation on our hearts. Allow the desires of our heart to be nurtured by God's desire for us, for the revelation of who we were before the foundation of the world. Now I just encourage you just to step into Him. Step into his presence in him and begin to look out through the lion, the ox, the eagle, and the man as they revolve. Look at the desires of God for you, your destiny, your mandate. Look out through the face of the lion and see the government God to be established. You may want to look through the face and the eyes of the ox to see the prophetic revelation of God's purposes in the future, or through the eagle to see high and fly and look down, where you begin to see the bigger picture, the apostolic blueprint for your destiny. Just look out from the perspective of the priestly function of the man to bring harmony and wholeness. Just encourage you to bring that mountain, that mandate, and just cultivate it in your heart. Father, just show us your perspective for our mountain, for our spheres of government. Now just begin to engage the timeline. Father, just show us what was in eternity, your desires for us within your heart, your thoughts about us, about what you've called us to. Just draw us towards that. Let us see from your perspective what it was, so we can bring it into what is. Father, we thank you as we look back where there was no sin, where the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world, where our destiny was brought about in thought and created in perfection. Just reveal that to us right now. Unveil my scroll. Just show me what my mountain looks like before, in the beginning. Just let your thoughts be imparted to our spirit. Deeper and deeper, as deep calls out to deep. Father, we just take what you're revealing to us, just brood over it and incubate it in our hearts. The desires of our hearts will draw us towards our destiny, the mandate that you've given us. But those desires will become in us a tree of life. So in light of the revelation of the beginning, we receive the mandate for today to manifest the outworking of the revelation of who we were and what we were called to do into today. Take that mandate into our hearts now, cherish it, surrender to it, and just receive the revelation and the authorization to administer the authority and the government of God from your position in the realms of heaven. If you're engaging there, you carry on doing it. If you want to go to your mountain and begin to outwork the mandate, just release it from your heart. Can just be enthroned on our mountain with the Aaron's rod of authority. With the crown with the 12 jewels carrying the resonant frequency that our spirit has received. And the mantle of authority. Just allow your spirit to release the position of government that you carry, to administer your mandate in alignment with the desires and the destiny within your heart, to manifest that which is the beginning into this day, to bring transformation to tomorrow. Begin to frame your day from the perspective of the eye of the storm, from the place of peace and rest. Frame your day with words connected to the revelation that you've received. release blessing and favor. Send the angels out before you to prepare connections in the kingdom today. Just look from the eye of the storm, from the seat of rest and government, begin to see transformation. Just prepare to step back into this realm. Just carry with you the testimony of the record of that which you've seen and heard and felt and experienced today, that which is being nurtured and incubated within your heart, that which your spirit has received as revelation, deep calling to deep, that you would live from who you are, positioned in authority in the heavens, outworked through you today. Just see that flowing out through your spirit and through your spirit gates, engaging your soul and growing to create an atmosphere of the kingdom around you. That where you walk as an ambassador of heaven, a house of God and a gateway of heaven. Just see your spirit enlarging to create that atmosphere of faith, peace, joy, love around you. A canopy of light, surrounded by the canopy of angels, recognizing the government of God on earth as it is in heaven. So just step back into this realm. All right. Anyone want to share anything with that?
I'll go first. This is Pena. I kept hearing execute justice with equity. And I was like based on scripture, looking through the recesses of my mind and spirit to know how that's connected with destiny and how I can go forth with that mandate. And it took me to a place where I realized that the way the desire of God is to execute justice with equity is not the way humans think of it, but the way God thinks of it is to, it's in a sense turning the earth upside down because it's not upright the way it is. It's like on earth as it is in heaven. And there is no illness in heaven. There is no weakness in heaven. And Christ already took care of that at the cross. And executing justice with equity is going to require me not prejudging people when I see them on the street. Because I do street marketplace ministry, like street ministry. And I have to look at them through the eyes of the priest as God sees them to intercede on their behalf. And as I go about my daily routine to just bring them into that place of wholeness, whether it's spirit, soul, body, however it is that their need, it's just executing justice with equity on their behalf because Christ already took care of it. And I'm like bringing it forth from heaven to earth. So I expect to see a lot of miracles. And I've only seen a glimpse of miracles, but I expect them to increase as I'm getting the revelation of the destiny and my blueprint and what's written for me to do. Thank you. That was amazing.
Good.
Thank
you. Excellent. Very good. Anyone else want to share?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it was interesting because I've been a little, maybe reluctant as far as legislating government because I keep telling God I don't understand that, but I know what it means. Like my mind doesn't know what it means, but my spirit totally goes, yeah, that's right. So when we were doing that and we were gauging, you know, before, I mean, it's for me, it's always the same thing. It's always unity. It's always the same scroll, you know, the scroll that unravels and like this big, huge, you know, unity written across my, and I'm like, okay, I got that. Okay. So I get it. So what was interesting is when, because I'm seeing the Lord position things as I'm repositioning myself. I can see him, you know, working the outworkings of it around me. And so I just saw him take me in this just, I mean, I've sat on my throne, on my mountain, we've done the throne of God, you know, all that. But this felt a little different. It was like he took me and I was in a white, like a flowery, silky, just white robe. And I didn't have a mantle or crown or anything. And I saw these, felt like 12 thrones. And he just took me in and he just sat me down on it. And I felt all those things come on me. But I started to understand and see. I was like writing documents and signing things, and the other day when I was in the Ark of His Presence, for the first time I engaged the eagle, And so I was just trying to see the big, a lot of times I am big picture, but I was really wanting to see the big picture, especially over this area, and to see far. And so it was just interesting that he sat me down there, and then you were saying, you know, come back, and I was like, no, I don't want to, because I got stuff I got to do. And I was realizing the amount of sight that needs to open to see, to legislate. So, yeah, it was interesting because I could see my roots like back to through France and Joan of Arc. I mean, it's all connected to all of that and the whole legislating and the, and so I wasn't quite figuring out what I was writing, but I was doing a lot of, you know, I don't know who it was. They were giving me documents and I was signing them and putting into effect and enforcing things that were being established in this area, in this region. So I found that interesting that there were 12 of those. And then anyway, yeah. So.
Good.
Yay. I don't know.
Okay, good.
All right. For me, it was so relaxing. Like, it was so heavy too, because like, I almost went into a dreamlike state, so I just laid down, and I was gone. I was sleeping, but I had a dream. So, and that dream gave me some answers. You know, God has been speaking to me in dreams a lot, so it was really good. I like it.
Excellent. Thank you. Okay, very good.
So it was an powerful encounter, but it's funny. I think I've just got to engage the seat I'm in and understand what it all is, because you know it's important. You know, I mean, even I heard everyone clapping that I was there. I guess the weight of it is so intense. But I could see the Lord when, you know, he presented me in the beginning. It was really beautiful. And I could see the substance of everything around. Yeah. It's just like you could reach out and anything you need is right there, and then you just bring it through the framework. It was really intense.
Awesome. Yeah. I think, see, the more you begin to nurture and incubate that, the more it becomes flowing out of you, because we can only administer that which we carry. And we can only carry that which we place within our heart and which we incubate and hover over or brood over, if you like, as the Spirit does. You know, we have to brood over those things. So the things that you've seen and the things that you feel, you take that back into your heart and you brood over it again, and you seek further and further release of that out of your spirit to engage. You know, and I would encourage you to spend, you know, time building that, you know, the whole legislative thing, and it comes out of carrying that within your heart and the desires of your heart being turned towards those things, and then it will begin to shape how we do things and what we say, bringing that revelation from what God's intention was, you know, and enter into it with all your emotions. You know, what does it feel like before, you know, so before Adam and Eve sinned, What would it have felt like for this that God has for me? You know, and just begin to just open up all the dimensions of your being to begin to experience it. Because it's not just seeing something or hearing something. It's what did it feel like? What did it feel like in the beginning to be, you know, unified light, spirit with God, and being a thought in his mind, and, you know, in his heart, and he incubated us. And because how he incubated us, he wants us to incubate other things, because we are made in his image to do it like he did it. And that really, it takes time to develop that and to release it and to, you know, so I would encourage people to spend a lot of time there to develop those things in seeing and feeling those things from God's heart, so our heart will be just transformed and shaped towards it, and you know, we will begin to carry that frequency within us and aligned with it in our lives. You know, it's a key process, but it's a good one. You know, it's a good place to be. Okay.